I'm here today to talk to you about the influence of traumatic events on sex workers' mental health and suicide intentions in Burkina Faso. This is part of a larger project from Research to Prevention, which was at Johns Hopkins, funded by PEPFAR, looking at prevalence of HIV among key populations, including sex workers and men who have sex with men, so doing prevalence measurements and also looking at risk factors, qualitatively and quantitatively. So I don't have any relationships to disclose that are of commercial interest to this project. I wanted to start and show folks kind of where we're talking about. So this is Burkina Faso on the map. Here's a political map of Burkina Faso. So I'm going to be talking a lot today about two cities in particular, the capital, Ouagadougou, and Bobo Dioulasso, which is in the west, kind of south, western part of the country. So as you can see, it's surrounded by Mali, Niger, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, and other countries there. So I want to start and talk a little bit about the situation of sex workers more broadly in Burkina Faso. So as in many environments, Burkina Faso, I'm going to use the term Burkina Bay, which is the adjective for folks in Burkina Faso, a lot in this talk, and FSW is female sex workers. You'll see that a lot too on the slides today. So there's a lot of victimization, exploitation of female sex workers, and they're experiencing regularly traumatic events in their work. The long-term impact of these traumas on sex workers' mental health has been well documented in many high and even middle-income countries, however less so in lower-income countries. A Dutch study found that 68% of sex workers have experienced moderate to severe sexual, emotional, or physical abuse during their lifetime. And as you can imagine, it can lead to certain traumatic-related symptoms. Most of the knowledge we have of correlates of mental health among sex workers, again, comes from other non-African, low- and middle-income countries like Vietnam, India, other places. There's a little bit of research done in South Africa as well. Sweat and other folks have done some of that. But in West African context, there's not very much that's out there in the peer-reviewed literature. So we know that traumatic events can lead to worse mental health outcomes, including PTSD symptoms in the short term. Violence, human rights violations, and HIV is greater among sex workers compared to other females of reproductive age in Burkina Faso. So this paper has two aims. The first is to investigate the influence of traumatic events on mental health outcomes among female sex workers in Burkina Faso. And the second point here is to inform comprehensive health programming. And I'll talk more about that as we get into the discussion piece. There's a picture of women who are trafficked from Nigeria who are working in Burkina Faso. So the methods here are mixed methods, and as you probably can imagine, it's a little more complex to describe mixed methods project in this time frame, so I'll try to do the best I can. But we actually had a very large survey going on in country, quantitative survey. So folks were selected using RDS, respondent-driven sampling, with seeds, which was described a little bit earlier in the first presentation, so I won't go over that. But there was a convergent parallel design. In other words, folks who were recruited for the quantitative could also be recruited for the qualitative as well at the end of the survey. Other qualitative folks were recruited through networks. So again, we're working with a lot of community-based organizations in country, and through those networks, kind of snowball sampling technique to get folks engaged and enrolled in the study. This really allowed for an in-depth exploration of the context and social perceptions of violence and mental health among these sex workers. And as I mentioned earlier, we're interested in population estimates of the prevalence of HIV and other STIs and also factors associated with violence and other human rights violations. So I already mentioned the sites. Eligibility criteria, so the women had to be at least 18 years old, have lived in the site for 3 months. They had to be at least 18 years old. The interviews were conducted in French or a local language like Moré or Dialao. And we had 10 purposively selected seeds at the beginning of the study. So for those not familiar with RDS, it's somewhat similar to snowball sampling. You pick one seed. The seed has 3 coupons. With the coupons, they refer folks out and then kind of goes out like a web. And from that, you can kind of get a population estimate. So yes, the quantitative participants completed a private interviewer administrative survey. This took about 45 to 60 minutes to complete. And then the qualitative piece, there were 15, in this study we're talking about 15 in-depth interviews and focus groups, however there were about 100 total in this context. For the quantitative analysis, so the survey was looking at socio-demographic characteristics, sex work history, stigma, human rights violations, alcohol, substance abuse, sexual behavior, HIV prevention methods, and victimization from violence. In terms of the qualitative analysis, we were using a codebook, of course, picking out themes, doing line-by-line thematic analysis, and some of the themes that came out were stigma, HIV, AIDS treatment, and other mental health outcomes. And I'll talk more about that as we get into the themes results. So I wanted to go over briefly the quantitative results here, and this is table one. So I was going to point out just a few of the figures. About 50% of the women in this sample, so you can see it's in about 700 folks, are between 18 and 25 years old. 77% were born in Burkina Faso, or they are seeing other individuals coming into the country from neighboring countries like Cote d'Ivoire, also pretty substantial population from Nigeria, 5%, and also Ghana. Marital status, 54% were never married or single, 11% married or cohabitating, and divorce is around 36%. Dependent children, none was at 45%, one 28%, two to three about 17%. So I'm just going to go down. So you can see here under current employment status, the second kind of category there, unemployed is around 60%. But what's interesting too is look at the informal sector, 14%. So a lot of people in Burkina Faso, this is men and women, are underemployed or are employed in the informal sector. And this is a theme we see across West Africa in general. Sex work, years engaged in sex work, you can see 2 years or less, about 31%, 3 to 5 years, 34%, more than 35%. Number of clients, you have more than 6 clients a day, that's at 17%, 4 to 6, around 44%. And days per month selling sex, 15 or fewer at 26, more than 20 at 50%. So here we get into the violence exposures. I want to spend a little time talking about this. So the physical or psychological violence, ever verbally harassed because of sex work, you're seeing 60%. Ever blackmailed because of sex work, around 30%. Ever experienced physical violence, 62%. And this is also interesting to think about before or after initiating sex work. So before sex work, you're seeing a response at 23%, after 57%, so that more than doubles, right? Common perpetrators of physical violence, regular client is around 16%. A one-time or new client is the highest. Well, hold on a second. Family member is the highest at 47%. Second highest is one-time client at 33%. Stranger, 33%. And I'll talk a little bit more when we say stranger, what that means in the context of Burkina Faso here. Sexual violence, ever forced to have non-consensual sex, 41%. And again, looking at this between before or after initiating sex work, 27% before and after, more than doubles to 65%. Common perpetrators of sexual violence, not too dissimilar from the physical violence results here, but one-time client, 33%. Uniformed officers, this includes gendarmes, police, military, you're seeing about 12.5%, someone from your neighborhood, 12%, stranger, 35%, so it's quite high. Perpetrator was ever arrested for forced sex, and this is also interesting, no, none of them were arrested, that's at 91%. And this is a theme you're seeing very common in the sex work literature, that the perpetrators are never apprehended and arrested. Police harassment, so were you ever harassed or intimidated by the police? About 39% said yes. Police officer ever took condoms away, 6%. Ever arrested on charges related to sex work, 6%. Yes, within the no, 6%. Yes, within the last 12 months, about 72%. Ever felt the police refused protection because of sex work, 17%. And that's a theme we're going to talk about a little bit in the results as well. Skipping down, ever refused to take condoms from an outreach worker because of fear, about 2%. Okay, here's a picture of a madame in Burkina Faso, also from Nigeria. Quantitative results. So this is actually kind of mixed, I guess. The qualitative findings support result or the reports of harassment, physical, and sexual violence. It's very pervasive in this sample. Female sex workers noted that stigma sometimes manifested in the form of harassment by verbal, physical, and I wouldn't say sexual assaults. The stigma sometimes perceived based on assumptions of the sex worker's clothing. So I wanted to read to you, and here's some of the main kind of themes, but I wanted to read to you a quote real quick from the first part of the quantitative-qualitative results. So this is Ms. O from Bobo Dioulasso. She says that if you're already FSW, some folks no longer even consider you a human being. On top of that, if you are sick with HIV, some of them do not care about you. They do not even want to have anything to do with you, so you cannot tell anyone. Otherwise, if people are already talking that you are sick, they will say, isn't that the AIDS girl there? She hasn't got long to live, end quote. So the main qualitative results were everyday violence, stranger perpetrated violence, and mental health alienation and depression. I'm going to give some quotes if that's the best way to kind of illustrate these, and I'll flesh these out in the discussion. So in terms of everyday violence, as we saw in the results from the quantitative section, is quite pervasive, quite high. Here's a quote from Ms. P. from Ouagadougou. She says, you can be walking along wearing a Walkman, and they want the head of a girl or a girl's, quote-unquote, sex. In any case, there are problems. There are also petty thieves who hang out in their spots. When you finish, they tell you to give them $100, about 50,000 francs. If you do not, they will assault you and then take all your money and your mobile phone, end quote. This is another quote here. They will mistreat you until you do what they want you to do. They don't care, and they will not want to use condoms. There's another quote about everyday violence. And this is from Ms. D from Ouagadougou. And there was a cop who has already attacked me. That day, there were two of us. And they came and they wanted to go out with us. We went to their camp. When they finished having sex, they said they will not pay us the money. We started to hit each other, but the other cop had caught the neck of my girlfriend, so I bit him, and then we fled, but it was in the police's camp, and so they were kind of trapped, and the story goes on. The police are really traitors. Okay. There was a whole section in our results about, there's actually, in Bobo Dioulasso, there's actually a slaughterhouse on the main thoroughfare where the women work, and so there were a lot of quotes about women feeling that the men who worked in the slaughterhouse were very violent and attack them on a regular basis. So I'm going to read just a quote from that piece. They also swallow pills, the young butchers, to become cheeky vagabonds. So they're not often, these are not often police officers. It's these young vagabond butchers who put us through this abuse. Most are young butchers from the slaughterhouse because the fact that they kill animals every day to harm a woman means nothing to them. And we saw this quote come up two or three times, so it was quite a common theme. Yes, that the thieves attack us, so the police could do something. I do not know what they can do, but I would ask them to do something, because the thieves really bother us. They know where the money is on us, so the thieves have become numerous. And that's from Ouagadougou. Okay. Let's see here. So I'm going to switch to the mental health alienation depression piece, and just read a couple quotes from this. So here we have a quote from Ms. D from Ouagadougou. She says, it's really about suffering. One can have all the money, do as she wants, she can eat what she wants, but in her heart she is suffering. Often she is wondering, why is she here? Why does she not have a man like other women have, a sex worker like her? She suffers. Again, this is a theme we saw in several passages. Ms. R from Ouagadougou says, yes, I have to cry for 2 days to get some relief. I stay locked away. I do not speak to anyone. I stay there only crying. I do not want to sleep with men, and I was thinking maybe I could never have a husband. So this turn of events has really discouraged me, going to sex work. Just one, let's see here, a couple more quotes. Some friends, if they are aware that you are sick, they can give you advice and they can help you overcome your situation. So here we're seeing some more resilience pieces. However, other friends, they go everywhere to tell that you are suffering from AIDS, and this can lead you to commit suicide. We think, and this is a different quote here from Ms. F. Ouagadougou, we think this is great. They're talking about HIV programs that are usually supported by the government but run through local community-based organizations. We think these are great because if HIV STI empowerment advice was not available, there could be a lot of suicides, a lot more suicides. Many more people who will see their lives in a different way. As with this advice, it happens to change one's mind to understand the reality of things. Okay. So I'm just going to keep going in the interest of time here. But the risk that traumatic events pose to the well-being and mental health of Burkina Faso, Burkina Bay sex workers is quite strong. Stigma, physical and sexual abuse are highly prevalent. And as we saw from the quantitative and qualitative, lifetime experiences of physical and sexual violence, as well as a history of HIV diagnosis, are independently associated with self-reported mental health symptoms, including suicide ideation. The negative impact of violence and trauma can lead to PTSD symptoms and major reduction in daily functioning. We also saw that women, after they got a positive HIV test, felt that their life kind of majorly shifted, and in some cases for the worst, and they were relying on support from either family, CBOs, or other sex workers. And there's a lot of social stigmatization of their infection. So this gets us to the question I feel is really at the heart of this paper. So this is actually a paper here. What are the reasons some sex workers can handle persistent traumatic stress and others can't? Or don't. And so there's a lot of different theories about this. Not a lot in the literature, but if you go to the traumatic events, traumatic outcomes literature, you can see that most folks who experience traumatic events have some type of social network, they have coping mechanisms, they have different resilience strategies. However, others don't. And that's always kind of this puzzle in terms of thinking about psychotrauma, who develops the PTSD symptoms and who doesn't, right? And I should also add that a lot of the sex workers suffer from complex traumas. And so this kind of just plays into it. When you have a complex trauma, of course, you're more likely to have stronger, more frequent, and even more severe PTSD symptoms. So again, suicide is a very extreme symptom of PTSD. It's not a common symptom of PTSD, right? This is just a graphic here to show the guy says, are you working? Yes, but with condom, it says on the right. So, disease diagnosis is also another established form of trauma. So, in other words, being diagnosed with HIV can be a trauma in and of itself, right? With all these ongoing traumas, one could hazard the guess that actually women, these sex workers who are maybe suffering from continuous traumatic stress, not post-traumatic stress, it's actually continual stress, right? So this is a different type of trauma and different type of outcome. Briefly go over limitations. So we had overlapping social networks, which could affect our sampling. We may have oversampled sex workers who identify as street-based. We may have missed folks living in more rural areas. Again, this was a project focused more on the two major cities. We couldn't obviously recruit adolescents due to regulations and so on, who may be more vulnerable, as was discussed earlier today. So some of the strengths of the project was, obviously, it was a mixed methods project, so we were able to enroll a large and diverse sample and use two complementary methods to get better results, and also to estimate the prevalence of violence and mental health symptoms, and really explore in this population which tends to be hidden. So the main conclusions from this project are that you see suicide ideation resulting from physical and sexual violence that may be a result of PTSD. Informative for the development of comprehensive services for female sex workers in country. We suggest that future interventions or programs really have different elements that you maybe don't previously exist, including self-defense, psychosocial support, and in particular, a mental health with a suicide prevention piece. The long-term impacts of trauma among this population will probably lead to poor health outcome, suicide ideation, and feelings of alienation. be remiss if I didn't thank all our partners and support here. So this project was supported by USAID Project Search, PEPFAR, again, it was R2P, which was managed by the communications program at Johns Hopkins, the government of Burkina Faso, who was working with us hand-in-hand on the data collection and a little bit on the analysis, and also to all the different CBU organizations in country who provided guidance and advice, and also want to thank University of Maryland, Baltimore County for providing travel support and conference support for me to be able to attend today. So, thanks. We'll save the questions for... Yeah. Thank you.